Hi, everybody. Happy Cinco de Mayo. It's May 5th, 2021. All right, welcome to today's edition of Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's also Teacher Appreciation Week, and we'd be remiss if we didn't thank all the teachers out there every year, but especially this one. So it's really great, and we've got great guests for this show today. We're going to go to southeastern Arizona, and we're going to talk to the superintendent of schools for Cochise County, okay, Jackie Clay, and she is a guest of our good friend, our special guest, as always, Dr. Joan Wade from the Association of Educational Service Agencies, the ESAs of the country, and she does a great job, and we'll start that in just a second. I want you to know that we are now the voice of the American Association, American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. And if you go over there, you'll see our magazine, which is called Equity and Access, Pre-K-12. You'll love it. It's an online journal. All right. All our podcasts are over there. This one will be archived there as well. Again, ace-ed.org. And there's a ton of other information all about Equity and Access, Pre-K-12, which are major, major things, as you know, always, but particularly we shone a light on it this year. So please check it all out at ace-ed.org. And I hope I introduced myself. I'm Larry Jacobs, and I'm saying that because I don't know Jackie, but I will in just a second. Okay. Good morning, Jackie, and good morning, Joan. It's a J&J, like Johnson & Johnson. We'll start with my old friend, Jay, Joan Wade. How you doing, Joan?
Good morning, Larry. It's good to be with you today on Cinco de Mayo Day.
It is Cinco de Mayo. Break out the tequila, but later. It's too early in the morning. And speaking of too early in the morning, Jackie, what time is it out there? It's so early. It's 9 o'clock here. What time is it there, Jackie?
It is 6:02 a.m.
You know, you're going to heaven for getting up this early and doing this show with us and sounding so alert. I hope you have coffee in hand. I appreciate you getting up this early to do it.
I have my coffee and my four dogs and my seven chickens. I am ready.
Wait a minute, let me get this straight. You had coffee, four dogs, and seven chickens for breakfast? You're a big eater, for goodness sakes. That's a lot. Right. That's a lot, right? Okay. Yeah, I was looking up Jackie, Superintendent of Schools for the county, and I was looking up about Cochise County, which is a fascinating name to me, okay, being up here in Maine, so far away from southeastern Arizona. And where you are is where Tombstone, Arizona is. I know you know this. Joan, do you know this? That it's next to Tombstone? Did you know this, Joan?
I did not know this.
Yeah, it's where famous Tombstone is, okay?
That's right.
Yeah, also, I have to say this. It's Cochise County, and I know who Cochise was, the great Indian chief, okay? I know him from the TV show when I was a kid called Broken Arrow, and the movie, which the TV show was based on, starring Jimmy Stewart, was filmed, okay, in Cochise County, where I guess all the events happened with Cochise and how the Indian Wars, I think, came to an end because of him. Am I right? Jackie, tell us the story.
I would say yes. Okay.
All right, good. Right. It's really fascinating. You know, again, East Coast Eyes, Cochise County, I just love it. You're going to tell us all about it in a second. Joan, tell us about AESA, what you do every day for work.
Well, good morning, everyone, and it's always great to be with you, Larry, and talk about the educational service agencies across the country. AESA is a national association that have members from most of the states where they serve public and private schools, mostly public schools, but also sometimes private schools, with educational support that's needed in those regions. In some states, California and Arizona, for example, they are county offices of education, and that's what you'll
hear
from Jackie today.
I was going to ask you that. You just explained it. Thank you.
Yes. So Jackie can tell you more about how that's set up in Arizona. Most states have these regional educational service organizations that's kind of the go-between between the State Department of Ed and the local school districts, and they really, really have their pulse on the needs of the local school districts, working closely with those school superintendents and teachers. And so I'm really excited to hear from Jackie today. She's done some phenomenal work in Cochise County in Arizona in a rural area when you talk about equity. I think this would be a great conversation for us.
It's going to be a fabulous conversation. I'm really looking forward to it. I'll say it again, like I say it all the time. I love ESAs at service agencies. They are the unsung heroes of education, and I hope everybody appreciates all the good work they do. Jackie, tell us about Cochise County. And I'm Joan again. Thanks for telling me how this fits into ESA. Okay, but please go ahead, Jackie. Tell us. I'm curious. Describe the district to us.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I'm from the East Coast originally.
Where are you from?
I was born and raised in New York City, Queens, New York, in fact.
Let me just say, a lot of people mix up Cochise County, Arizona, with New York City. It's a common mix-up.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yes, they're similar. They're similar, right? Wow. New York to Cochise County. That's amazing. Continue, please. Wow.
Yeah, well, I was in the military for 25 years. I left New York at 17, and then I was in the military 25 years. And in 2004, I came here to retire. It was my last duty station, Fort Huachuca, Arizona, which is the home of the Buffalo Soldiers, which is a very historical place. And I fell in love with the space and the people and the mountains, and and it's just so beautifully rural, and I always wanted to be a cowgirl, so here I am. Cochise County has embraced me 100%.
How did you become an educator? How'd that happen? You were in the military. Were you an educator in the military?
Well, I was a communicator. You know, I dealt with computers and cables and wires and radar, et cetera, et cetera. But in the military, you always have to teach. And I tell people, as far as teachers are concerned, when you are called to be a teacher by, you know, that natural instinct you have, you know, that natural attribute, you cannot run away from it. You can say you are whatever, but you're always going to come back to it. It's something that is in you. That's your natural attribute. So I couldn't run away from it. That's what I do.
Wow.
You know, educators, what they love more than anything is to see other people do well. Educators are like the bottom of the iceberg, you know? They feel good when they see the top of the iceberg live to their potential and do all those things. And in a true educator love to ensure that the things that are needed for that top of the iceberg happens. So it was natural for me to want to serve, you know, and help people reach their potential, however that would be. So how did I become a teacher? All teachers will tell you it's something inside of you. You can't run from it, you know. And I always tell people who I'm trying to get to be teachers. You know, we have to try to grow our own down here. I'll say, all you in the closet teachers, all you in the closet teachers who act like you're not, I'm going to find you. It's going to come out. You can't run from yourself. So why don't you just give in? Let me know who you are, you know, and let's get trained and let's get busy.
Wow, so, Jackie, you're really something. You're so impressive. And you said something a minute ago. I didn't exactly hear you. So what you said, the fort you were at, you were stationed at, was the original home of some group, and I didn't hear what group that was.
The Buffalo Soldiers.
Wow, that's what I thought you said. Wow.
Yes, the Buffalo Soldiers. This was the post. This is the home of the Buffalo Soldiers. Very, you know, so we not only have Tombstone, you know, which is very historical, and Bisbee, that is very historical. And believe it or not, very, very rich as far as the people. You know, you have that, you know, the diversities of all different people here. You know, you don't have, I tell people, we don't have the, you know, you have the other side of the tracks. We don't have that here. Everybody is just intermixed. You know, there is, we all are. So our challenges are much different than maybe some urban schools.
Right.
Our challenge is technology equity, you know, things like that. But as far as what our history is, across the board, the rich history of just about everyone here, you know, you can find an identity here and find your place here. I would say this is a big county. In fact, we have some schools in another – I have a couple of schools in another time zone. That's how big this county is.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
So it's huge.
Wow.
And we have some schools that are one room. I call them one room schoolhouses. We have one school that is 8 students strong, and you may say, and that's our K to 8 school. And you'd say, mm-hmm. Well, why don't you have them go to another school? Well, we have ranches, 500, 5,000 acre ranches.
That's
so
right.
So you have
distance,
these families.
Distance. Yep.
Exactly. So you have these amazing one room schoolhouses. We're talking about one in particular is 100 years old. So when I go there and visit, and you know, sometimes they'll have barbecues or whatever, and I get to meet people. They'll say, "Jackie, I was a student here, you know, in 19,
wow.
you know,
yeah.
30 this," and what it does, it basically makes you awe. You're in awe, you know. You're like, you want to bow. You're like, so even, you know, where you go, we all celebrate each other because we all have a niche and we all have something amazing. And we celebrate that in each other. So when I find someone who has gone to some of these schools and I see their great-grand, their grand, you know, and all you can do is just listen. You're not the one who's speaking anymore. You're the one who's silent, and you let them do all the talking. And you just get so much wisdom and information from them, and they have no problem in telling you.
That is exactly what you're doing to me. Your story and your description, okay, is so wonderful that you actually shut up the host. Okay, and I just loving listening to you. Okay, I mean it. It's just, and you're so obviously in love with the place you work. I think it's just great. I do have a question. Describing the district, I assume, and I may be wrong here, that there were a lot of kids who were Native Americans. But I'm curious, since you mentioned the Buffalo Soldiers, and I wasn't thinking this way before, are there a lot of African American kids? Did a lot of those soldiers stay there? You know, their families, obviously, they're gone. How did that work out,
well,
ethnically,
you know what?
So to speak, for the county?
I would say you know, our African-American population, you'd say maybe 8%, 10%. You do have families who've been here because we have the NAACP down here, and they've been here very, very, very long. So you can see richness here, but we also have our Native American. Now, we don't have a lot of Native Americans down south, okay, believe it or not. We're a border town. In fact, one of our schools, which is NACO, shout out for NACO School
border,
District.
Yeah. Yep.
There, you know, you can throw a rock at the wall, at the border.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And then you have another border school that's Douglas. I mean, they're right at the port of entry. All
wow.
right, but then that's on one side.
Wow.
But then on the other side, you may have nothing but ranches. So bringing together all these different cultures and getting them to trust, you know, me
Absolutely.
As Mama Bear.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, having them
understand
that.
They got a good Mama Bear. They got a good Mama Bear. Right, I can
having,
tell.
You know,
wow.
It took 4 wow. years to get everyone to just trust me, to let them know I'm here for you and I'm going to be here and I will fight for you. Nobody messes with this county. You know, I tell people, especially our legislators, if you're making any type of educational decisions without Cochise County's input, your decisions are flawed. You can't do 360-degree decision with only 270 degrees of information.
Here.
And if you're missing our input, even though we're down south, if you're missing our input, flawed, it's flawed. And with respect, I have brought that up a lot to our legislature, and I will tell you, they do listen now. I have to travel maybe three hours for a two-hour meeting, but they know I'm going to be there.
Something. We need a clone machine, Joan. You need a clone machine to clone Jackie's. Okay?
You know,
they should start investing. Yeah.
Right? Jackie is so inspirational. Every time I've heard her, and she's done some webinars for AESA for our other members, and she's just got an inspirational storytelling way that makes it phenomenal to listen to. And Jackie, I just want to tell you, I've been on this radio show with Larry a lot. Nobody leaves him speechless. So, way to go.
I'm telling you, this is fascinating. I mean, you're a great person and a great place. And you know, it's funny, as we were talking with the Buffalo Soldiers, I was thinking about, African-American people and, of course, Arizona. The first thing that came to mind, Cochise County, were Native Americans. But I forgot you guys are also a border community. Is your demographic mostly Latino kids of Latin culture? Or who makes up your school district? Jackie,
So, as I said, our county is huge. Okay,
it's like a bigger than Rhode Island, I bet.
Yes. Okay, so our county is huge, and it takes some time for me to get from my house to Portal, which is one of our school districts. That takes me 2.5-3 hours, and then it's always a time jump. So you have to, and that's by New Mexico. All right. So the thing is, it's really amazing. You have most of your African Americans in Sierra Vista, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But do you have some in Benson? You know, you have some, you know, and as far as a Caucasian, all throughout, and Mexican. The thing is, they're all dispersed, basically. So, you know, I went somewhere. I went to Douglas and to go to an event, and coming home, it was around 8 o'clock at night. There were a lot of African Americans there, and I didn't realize that. So the thing is, you have African American, Mexican, Anglo, you know, some Asian. They're dispersed throughout. So you don't get you don't get the here are all the blacks here and here are all the whites here. And here,
it's so interesting because, and you know this being from Manhattan, you know, Cochise County to us is a long way away. To Joan in Wisconsin, it's a long way away. All right?
It is.
And yet the diversity within that county that you're describing, it just goes to show you, you know, how diverse country this is, okay, that you have everybody there, okay, and you're doing your best to bring everybody together and respect the cultures, et cetera, et cetera. And, I'm pretty impressed with this. This is really, really something. When you're a county superintendent, I think I'm starting to get a hint of this, okay, what's your focus, okay, as you're doing this, and you look at the varied people that you deal with through this incredibly large county, okay, what's the focus been, okay, as you looked at it and saw the challenges, et cetera? Go ahead, Jackie.
Well, you know, me being in the military, we all had one common goal, okay, and we all understood our significance. No one was better than the other. We all just knew our part. And we celebrated each other. And we were very loyal, and we loved each other. Because you have to do that to, you know, to move forward. Or, as I say, move westward. Okay? So my focus was connecting the dots, okay? And that has been when I started, when I ran for the office, because it's an elected office, okay?
Oh, I didn't know
when
that.
When I ran
okay.
for the office, yes, I had they had to vote me in. So
hard to believe you
when
won.
I ran for the,
you're so quiet. You're so quiet. It's hard to believe you won.
I know.
Yeah, oh, it's terrible. I'm loving this. Go ahead.
When I ran for the office, what you do is, the way I see things, I have to look at the group or the organization or the family, and this goes for everything, that I'm going to be a part of. Not that I'm in charge. It's just helping facilitate moving forward.
Right.
So I said, okay, right. let me look at this map. Oh, my goodness. Look at all. And let me look at all the different cultures. And then, you know, I saw that everybody did good. They were doing good, but just to bring them together, to show them their commonness, their commonalities, but at the same time respecting their autonomy. You understand? So that was a tricky thing to say, you know, when I go to the border and people in Douglas and Knoxville, they know I don't care who you are or where you come from. You're my kid, okay? If you are K, if you are a kindergarten to 22-year-old, you're mine. I don't care where you're at, where you come from. You're my button. You're my baby, all right? And I want to know what you're doing. And when they knew that, when Naco knew that, Douglas knew that, and when Benson knew that, Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and it takes a long time to tell a culture, show the culture that, or the people, I am not here for mm-hmm. anything else. I have no, all I want to do is do what I was meant to do. And they, when, you know, going to people's homes, going to their barbecues, you know, just listening and being part of some of their community, what's important to them and listening to them and then they listening to me and we're going back and forth and finding those things, I tell them, I go outside of Cochise County, I find things and I bring them back in to the district superintendents. I don't make them do anything. I just tell the district superintendents, my job is just to bring you
right,
more
to
tools for you to
sure.
buy, not to make you. And my job also is to speak for you at the legislator. And they know, people know me up there. They
wow.
they know Cochise County. So I have one foot inside Cochise County.
You're basically the elected representative to the state from the schools of Cochise County. That's basically what
yes.
you are, which is a fabulous – I never heard of a position quite like that. Okay, and I'm sure it's obviously all over Arizona, but this is very impressive. What year were you elected superintendent?
I was elected 2016.
5 years now. Wow.
Yes. Yes. And now we are rolling. We are, oh my goodness. But again, it took the 4 years.
Can't imagine otherwise. You've been reelected,
yes.
right? And what did
mm-hmm.
you just say? What was that sentence you just said?
I said there was a lot of war wounds in.
I thought that's what you said. Okay. Tell me what you mean by that. Tell everybody what you mean by that.
Well, when people in education, educators have been hurt so bad. Do you understand? And there is and educators don't advocate for themselves. And then you have the
right.
people
agreed.
Who don't understand educators, right? Like maybe my grandmother or my great-grandmother, you know, they don't
mm-hmm.
understand. My kids, they're out of school, you know, it doesn't matter. And then I'm the one that comes in and say, wait a minute, and I just want to let you know, I'm a grandmother. I have 20 grandchildren, and I'm getting ready to have one great-grandchild. So, okay, I try to identify with everybody. But I tell them, I said, listen, those kids that cross the stage, if they cross the stage and leave Cochise County, if we export all our kids, then who's going to take care of us? Don't say that you don't care about who crosses that stage because you need somebody to answer your 911 calls. You need somebody to pull your blood. You need somebody to go ahead and clean your teeth. You need somebody, you know, we need our kids here. We need our leaders here. So don't, please don't say that you don't care. So just, so, you know, when I first started, you get the war wounds from them, you know, scratching your eyes out, you know, and then you just take it, because if you're a servant, you have to deal with that until they understand that you're here for them, even if they scratch your eyes out. You know, you kind of, you know how to bob and weave a little bit and say, I'm going to be here, and I'm going to try to help you understand. And then the same with the teachers. They don't understand. The people don't care about us, et cetera, et cetera. So just bringing those two together, and that's what connecting the dots was. So to connect the dots in our county and to continue to move forward, I had to find something that put ripples in everybody's pond. So what I used to put ripples in the pond is economic independence for all of our economic success for our county. If our students aren't economically independent, guess what? We're not going to have economic success. Nobody's going to buy your cars.
That's right.
No one's going to buy your houses.
Right.
Everybody's going to leave. So I had to find something. Now, when I had that one rock, it made everybody turn around. You know, it made the businesses, the community, the kids, the parents. It had to be something. So when you talk about economic independence for our students, we're talking about even our special needs students. Our special needs students, they were born, all of us were born for a purpose. And when I have a special needs student, you know, I remember one had told me, I was a teacher and a principal. I remember I had a special needs student, and I said, aren't you glad you're graduating? And she said, no. And I said, why not? And she said, because nobody wants me. When I leave, nobody's going to want me.
Yep.
So what did that spark in me? I had to let the businesses know, we have special needs students, and they're amazing. We have to find what they can do, not what they cannot do. What can they do?
Exactly.
And we need
go at it from a point of view of strength. Yes.
Yes. And then what I had to show the community is we have 17 career clusters, right? So if I have a special needs student who wants to be go into medical field, that counselor should not say, oh, well, you can't do that because you have to go to school. I had to show everybody that the medical field in all our career clusters are from no school to a zillion years of school. So if I have a special needs student who wants to go into medical field, they can be a hospitality aide at a home. Now what are they doing? They're in the medical field. All right, if I want a special needs student, they want to go in law enforcement, hey, we can go ahead and train them to work in the mall and be a guard, a security guard. So the thing is, now these kids, and they'll always be my kids, instead of them taking from the system, they're putting into the system. And now you're talking about significance. You're talking about they have passion, they have purpose, they have motivation, they have direction, and they will stay in our county, and they will feel that they are validated. But teachers can't just do that. It has to be everybody, and that's what connecting the dots is. So we have to talk, we have to look at the academic needs of our school system through our homeschools, our charter schools, private schools, high-risk schools, and work collaboratively with our board members, teachers, students, businesses, industry members, community members, and other stakeholders to help our students succeed. Because if they don't succeed, we're not going to survive. If the word is, we're not going to reach sustainability as a community. Okay? If we can't do this, we're going to fragment, right? And we're going to go into silos. And everybody's going to do their own things. And what happens when your natural body, if the right eye says, you know what, I'm going this way, and the left eye says, whatever, I'm going to do my thing, and one foot go.
That's
your
good
body
analogy.
Can't.
Yeah.
You understand? So
I do.
If we're an educational system, right, if we're an educational system, we every part of that system has to understand their part. And just because you say I'm not a part of it doesn't mean you're not. So if your right hand says, I'm not part of your body, okay, you'll say, yeah, okay, say whatever you want, but guess what? You're connected to this body, and, you know, either you do what you're supposed to do, or, you know, you're just going to hang there like a loose piece of meat, and you're going to wither up and die eventually if you don't work with us. You know, so to get the community, you know, I like to tell stories, to get them to see that picture of, if we don't work together And I think in systems,
exactly.
if we don't work together as a system, which is a bunch of interrelated parts that impact one another that produces outputs. And our outputs are our students. Our output is creativity. Our output is all the things that we do within our county to bring up, you know, the GDP, I can say, in our county. The
yeah,
only way we can
right.
do that is if we work together, right?
Exactly, because
okay.
how many school districts are in the county?
Well, we have 21 school districts. That's unified school districts. That's not including our charter schools, which
right.
I love. Okay, I'm sorry. And our private schools, which I love, and our homeschool population. I let everybody
mm-hmm.
know that to me, education is education. There's not one not one group that's better than the other. That's just like saying
nice.
McDonald's is better than Burger King, that's better than Carl's Jr. It's the taste and the flavor of the person that's eating the food. Okay? So Burger King is not
analogy.
Better than McDonald's. You right? Burger King isn't better than McDonald's, right?
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, Jackie. Okay?
That's right.
You know,
so,
it's interesting. You talk about this, the systems, and you're right. Because I'm just going to use your unified districts. Let's just say you have 21 school districts in the county, okay? But the kids they're training, okay, are going to be dispersed through the county. They're not going to stay, okay, in their particular school district. In other words, it does have to be a system, okay? And if the system
yeah.
has to understand they're producing citizens that are going to go into a wider world that are going to have a greater impact that just in that community, and I'm telling you, that's a real thing. Jackie, how did you guys do during the pandemic? Okay, this was still going on this past year. Okay, how did that impact the Cochise County schools?
I will tell you something. We were already getting close, okay? So when that happened, we got closer. This is where those the homeschool, the private school, and the unified school districts and charter schools, what I did was instead of the schools, and remember, I'm the one that connects the dots. That's my job. So what we started doing, and we're still doing it, we're over a year, every Tuesday at 2 o'clock, we come together and meet on Zoom, all the leaders, but we come together with the chief medical officer of Copper Queen Hospital, We have somebody from Benson Hospital, someone from Chiricahua Hospital, someone from
mm-hmm.
Canyon Vista. Those are our four main hospitals. They're the
mm-hmm.
ones, they give us the briefings, right? And not
mm-hmm.
only that, we're sharing information and we're sharing our assets, and the health department is there.
Oh, good.
So you have all
good.
These entities plus the schools. So now, instead of them just trying to figure it out themselves,
exactly.
Now
what an interesting point.
So you know what's happened? Now you have these doctors and these health department people. Okay, what do you need? You need PPEs? What do you need? Oh, wait a minute. This school has been shut down and we don't have any food. Okay, this other school over here, we'll go ahead and bring the food over. Okay, you know, now there's, and this is where I want to cry, you know. All I did was bring them together. My job is to bring them together. Now you're seeing all this communication, and then we have the WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a WhatsApp. If we want to say
yeah.
something at 9 o'clock at night because something happened, one person will say something on WhatsApp, and everybody can see it. Now, before, we didn't have these organizations working together, but the pandemic caused us to listen. We
mm-hmm.
really have the same common goal. We have to stop competing. Okay, the people that
wow.
made the decisions
yep.
in school, stop competing, let's work together. And that's what happened in this county. We had all types of organizations. I'm talking about schools, you know, from over here, this school district, find out that this school district is having problems, or their bus drivers, or their food services person. They got COVID. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and bring stuff over there. So the thing is, when we came together once a week, we not only looked at the metrics, right? And oh, well, what are you doing? Or what do you think? And when they went back to their school districts, they came back with a richness of not only national state information, but local information. And then they had the phone numbers to those doctors. They had the phone numbers to the health department. And now everybody's on first name basis with every, you know. So I will say what COVID has done, as far as us working as a system, it made it stronger. Mm-hmm. Now, we are still, we're over a year now, and we still have our meetings every Tuesday. Now I record them on Zoom, and anybody who can't come, I'll just push it out to, you know, to them via email, because I know you have other things to do. But the relationships that were formed and the friendships, because with a system, it's all about relationships. It's all about interdependency, understanding that there is an awareness of interdependencies, okay, and that we have to be able to communicate across boundaries formally and informally, because if there's no effective communications regarding education, our system is going to falter and become extinct.
That's right.
So we have
to
have feedback. We have to have feedback, and that's the ultimate goal, because feedback drives self-sustainment. So they know that now. They see it. Now, again, you got to realize these are all alphas, okay? I'm talking, and that's one of the hardest things to do, to facilitate alphas, because, Joan will tell you, most educational leaders are alphas. I mean, big-time alphas. So bringing these alpha leaders together and letting them see them, letting them see everybody else's strength and weaknesses, and know that you know, going against each other in that competition, yes, it's still there, but it's not strong there. It's not, you know, I'm better than you because I'm a public school and you're a charter school. I'm better than you.
It's a good point, because there is a lot of competition out there, and in times like this, it brings people together. You're right on target. You're exactly the right person to be doing this. I want to ask you something. You know, you're talking about connecting the dots, and I love that, and you are great at that. I want to take that a little more literally, if I can. Okay, there's been problems all across the country with broadband connectivity during the pandemic. That sort of thing, you know, with remote education, however you want to phrase that. But the connectivity has been a problem. You're in a pretty rural county, all right? How does that work out for your folks, okay, your districts? Talk about broadband and all that in this crazy, nutsy year. Go ahead, Jack.
Well, we call it the digital divide. In fact, I'm on a committee. We're working on a white paper. We're just about finished. We're working on a white paper to give to the legislators to address the digital divide, because there were some students who didn't have computers. There were students who didn't have connectivity, okay? There were families who had five or six students in the house, so how is that going to work? There were parents who didn't understand computer. It was just... It was challenging. We had a lot of our businesses within the county. They opened up their Wi-Fi to students, so students can go in the parking lots, sit in the parking lots, and download their work. We had a lot of people donate computers. We had Verizon with the hotspots. We had Cox
Good
Cable.
Folks.
We're going to bring down bring down how much the cost is going to be. We basically took a look at everything and the community. You know, we work together, but still, we still have a big digital divide. That's why I volunteered to be on the committee. You know,
is that a state committee? State committee? What committee is it? Committee or
this is a state committee that has to do with it's a technology committee, Arizona Technology Task Force. In fact,
oh good.
So
I know your superintendent, your state superintendent Kathy. She's been on the show.
Yes.
Okay, and I know she's really concerned about this stuff. Yeah.
Let me tell you about this lady. I have her on my cell phone. Okay.
Who, Kathy?
I can say, Kathy, I don't. Yes. I say, Kathy, I don't understand this. I have her cell number. Kathy, what are you talking about? Or, Kathy, what does this mean? You know, so my superintendents will say, Jackie, what? And I'll go, Kathy, what? And 24
I can
hours,
only imagine
Jackie,
you
blah,
two together.
Blah, blah, blah,
I'm trying to picture that. Yeah, that's funny.
And
right,
and
I
love her. I mean, it's you remember we talk about relationships? She's captured my heart because she listens. And she's loyal.
She
and, yes, she does.
And
so,
let me just make the point. I don't know if you know this, Joan. Kathy, I think, is the first educator in decades, if not the first ever, to be the Arizona State Superintendent of Education. She's actually came out of the schools, Kathy Offit.
I just listened to that interview that you had with Kathy. I listened to it this week, and it was really good. Well done. And she's a smart woman, and it's great to have her there.
No,
she's a
smart lady. And, you know, it's really something. So what do you say? I want to ask you this, Jackie, and you are so forthright. What, you know, that we had to bluggle our way through this pandemic. You stepped up, all your superintendents, the community stepped up, teachers, et cetera. Next year, is it going to force any changes for next year? You know, we're all talking about how this pandemic changed education. But I hope we're not just talking about how we want it to change education. I hope it's literally going to change education. Okay? And what do you see for next year from what you've learned this year?
Well, I see that we are looking at – we have found that we have to evolve, okay, number one, education and how to teach online. Because you know what? Online is for some people.
Great point.
And it's
great
not
point.
For some people. But the thing is, technology should be a platform, not the total picture. It should be a platform. But so using it as a platform, we've learned how to do that. We've also learned that we need contingency plans and when things happen like this.
Wow.
And
but you're right.
As far as educators, we have to also look at not only equality but equity in learning for our students.
Thank you.
So we had to definitely learn that, okay, this group needs this more than this group or a person. We have been looking at it. And then looking at the social and emotional issues of our kids, these teachers, it was hard for them to put on their finger what's going on at the home. We have some kids, some of them had grandparents who were sick. So they're at home trying to take care of their sick grandparents. They're at home being babysitters. They have other jobs. Some were being abused. I mean, all these things that were going on. And so we learned so much. We become so sensitive. And it's just our paradigm. The shift has changed on how we teach, how we give instruction, wanting to learn more, okay? It's having contingency plans, understanding that we are interdependent. All these things we've learned. We've learned a wealth of information, and we survived it. And we survived it with still loving each other. In fact, we survived it with our relationships stronger than they were before. So I see great things.
Yeah, and that's the point. We do have to grow from this. And I think if anybody's going to lead that charge, I have a feeling it's Jackie Clay. You are amazing. I mean, you are something else. And, you know, I love the fact, I have to say this, we've got to wind down in just a minute, but I love the fact that you come out of the military, and while you were a teacher, okay, you see education with different eyes, okay? And, you know, most educators are trained. They go through college to be educators. They work in a school district, and they be, you know, whatever, wherever that takes them. But you came from a different route. And the fact that you came from a different route gives a whole new set of eyes to the situation and a better way to solve the challenges. So although I could listen to you forever, we do have to go. But I'll tell you, Jackie Clay, you are one amazing person. I love this conversation. Thank you so much. Madam Cochise County, you're unbelievable. Okay. Joan, you did it. Wow. This lady's amazing.
Yes, she is. I knew this would be a great show. Thank you, Jackie, for taking the time to be with us today.
My pleasure.
You guys are great. Good luck, Jackie. Hopefully someday I'll be able to get to that part of Arizona, which I've never been to. Okay? I have a feeling I would. I love Arizona. My favorite place, which you know, of course, is Sedona. Okay? I just love Sedona. And I'd love to go down to Tombstone in Cochise County and see what that's like. Fascinating place. And if I do, I'll be in touch. I promise. Ladies, thank you both. Thank you. Okay, I will. Take care, ladies. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. My good friend Joan Wade. Dr. Wade is the executive director of AESA, AESAUS.us, and Jackie Clay is the amazing Cochise County, Arizona Superintendent of Schools. Wow. Check it out. Have fun. Go over to ace-ed.org. You'll be amazed at what we do, too. ace-ed.org. It's all about equity. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you.